Okay, this was everyone in our waiting room.
Very good. I'm going to call this meeting of the UIL State Executive Committee to order. My name is Mike Motherell, and I'm a retired superintendent and will serve as the officer, the hearing officer today. We have an agenda before us, and we will be abiding by the University Interscholastic League Constitution and Contest rules. Our hearing today is we only have the one. It's Progreso High School, consideration of penalties for violations of Section 443E, changing schools for athletic purposes, Section 51, school district personnel violations, and Section 52, UIL school violations. At this time, we're going to find out who we have that has joined us at this point and make sure your audio is working. And we're going to get you sworn in as well. So, Eden Ramirez.
Yes, good afternoon. Eden Ramirez, legal counsel for Progreso Independent School District.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
I
And
do have my superintendent trying to log on. They were having some issues with the link, but I re-forwarded to them. So they should be on here rather shortly, I think, or in the waiting room already.
okay. And who is Benjamin Castillo?
I'm also an attorney with the law firm representing the school district.
Very good. Welcome.
Thank you.
And we will wait for a moment or two until the superintendent gets on. We really need his
There you go. I
wisdom.
think that's them down there.
Okay. We have a person who is logged on with a telephone. The last three digits of that telephone number are 119. Could you please unmute and let us know who you are?
This is Sergio Coronado, Progreso ISD Superintendent.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. I made introductions of myself earlier. I'll be the hearing officer today. My name is Mike Motherell. I'm a retired school superintendent. And what we need from you folks is to unmute at this time, all three of you, and then we're going to get you sworn in. We'll ask that you raise your right hand, and that includes attorneys. This is not a court of law, so we need anyone who's going to speak to be sworn in.
Joe, sorry for the interruption. I have our student Iker Segura here with me as well.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Okay, please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
I do.
I do.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Very good. Okay, let me tell you how this hearing is going to go. We're going to be very succinct. We're going to take care of business. We want to hear what you have to say. We're going to do it in an orderly fashion. I am going to begin with the superintendent and with the student. And going to clarify some information that we have. Once we get all those answers, they may have some information they want to provide as well independently. And then at that point, once we get the answers that we need, if there's anything that needs to be, excuse me, that's left that needs to be said by attorneys, be glad to hear you today, okay? But again, we're not going to do a lot of repeating, and we're going to be straightforward. That's just the way it works best. Okay. I'm going to begin, and let's see. Our student's name is it Hicker?
Hicker Segura, yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Hicker. I'm going to begin with you, and our superintendent can chime in as needed. But you moved into we're going back a ways now, into the Progreso School District, and you were there for your freshman year. Is that correct?
Okay, let me ask you a question. I'm the superintendent. Can I translate to him? Because he's barely speaking English. He's learning English.
You bet.
Or
Not
how do you
a
want to
problem.
do? Yeah,
Not a problem
got
at
it.
all.
Okay. Okay, perfect. Me preguntan que si estuviste con nosotros tu freshman year, que fue el año que estuve. Yes, I was.
Okay. And did you play soccer your freshman year there at Progreso?
¿Jugaste fútbol, soccer, tu año freshman en Progreso? Yes, I did.
Okay, and was he on the varsity that year?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Was he on the varsity team?
¿Jugaste en varsity? Sí. Yes, I did.
Okay, mighty good. Now, did you start your sophomore year, your 10th grade year? Did you start it at Progreso and then move to Palm View? Or did you start your sophomore year at Palm View?
¿Empezaste el año, este año escolar en Progreso y luego te moviste a Palmview o empezaste el año escolar en Palmview?
Empecé el año en Progreso.
I started the school year in Progreso.
Okay. Why the change?
¿Por qué te cambiaste?
Por problemas familiares.
We had family problems.
Okay. And so, who did you move with?
¿Con quién te fuiste a vivir?
Con mi tía.
With my aunt.
Yeah. So you were living with your aunt.
¿Estuviste
Okay.
viviendo con tu tía? Yes.
All right. And once you were there for, I think, through like October or part of October, why the move back to Progreso? Why did you change schools to go back to Progreso?
¿Estuviste viviendo ahí hasta octubre? ¿Por qué te regresaste a Progreso?
Porque el equipo me lo ha dicho que no. Era jugar y el siguiente día iba a ir para poder.
¿Y tus familiares cómo estaban?
Estaban bien, ya se habían recuperado y siempre lo sé.
Okay. What he's stating is that the time his family problems resolved and the Palm View coach told him that he could not play in Palm View.
Okay. That's very helpful in our discussion today. So you got back to Progreso High School in October, and you've been playing varsity ball since that time. Correct?
Regresaste a Progreso y seguiste jugando varsity. ¿Cuál fue el proceso? Los tiempos.
Pues primero estuve estudiando más que nada y luego desde ahí ya empecé a practicar otra vez con Progreso.
So he's stating that he was studying for a couple of months and then he started practicing again with the soccer team in
Okay.
Progreso.
All right. Thank you. I have asked all the questions I need to of the young man, and he's done a nice job of answering that. Would you make sure he knows that I said that, please?
Dicen que muchas gracias por ser tu oportunidad y por la ayuda. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Now, I'll start with the superintendent again. And we recognize now that, and one of the reasons, the big reason we're here, is that on the move back to Progreso, there was no previous athletic participation form that was completed, which is a requirement. It's not an option. It's a requirement that all school districts understand and should know, all coaches, and they are responsible for that. So that did not happen. And because of that, there were no flags that went up anywhere with the district executive committee, because they didn't have the information that was required. And what we've heard already today, very straightforward. that there were two reasons that this young man said that they moved back to Progreso, that he went back to Progreso. One of them was the family things were solved, but the other was he was not going to get to play at play soccer at Palmview. So I would ask that you comment on that, sir.
Yes, this is, again, Sergio Coronado, superintendent of Progreso ISD. I had a conversation with the coaches earlier today. This is the first time that I heard this situation. So what the coaches told me is when he came back, they called the chair, which was Mr. Perez from Monte Alto, and the chair, who is in charge of all the paperwork at the district level, told them that they did not need a PAPS, that all they needed was an email sent to him because the student did not complete more than 30 school days in Palmview. Given that information to the coaches sent the email to Mr. Perez, again, which is the chair of the DEC, and we continue with the process, and he continued playing.
All right. And anything else that you'd say about that?
No, sir. That's it.
Okay. Very good. Dr. Harrison?
Yeah, I just want to make sure I heard that correctly. You said that somebody else told your coach because he didn't complete, he wasn't at Palmview for 30 days. Did I hear that correct?
Not somebody else.
Yes, the DEC chair was the one who gave that information to our coaches.
Okay. And he, according to the documentation we have, he enrolled at Palmview on September 3rd and withdrew on October 15th. And I don't have the calendar in front of me to count those days, but I'm pretty sure that's more than 30.
Any comments?
Yes. So I don't have a calendar in front of me. What I'm reporting to you is exactly what I talked to the coach. I did not count the days. This is what, according to our coaches, the DEC chair told them.
And Dr. Harrison, the key word is school days, not calendar days.
Yeah, I think the bigger key is that there is exactly no UIL rule that speaks to 30 school days.
Correct.
In any place.
Well, 403 F7 does. Doesn't really talk about school days. It says 30 days, but within being ruled ineligible. However, he never played, and he was never ruled ineligible by the DEC. So our position is that he never lost his original eligibility.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. It does say he was not ruled ineligible, and it does not say 30 school days. We do agree on that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You bet. All right. Anything else from our superintendent at this point?
No, at this point, no, sir.
Okay. Appreciate all your information thus far. Okay, we've got some attorneys here, and one has already spoken up, and we appreciate those comments. Here's where I am, and understand, we want to do what's right here today, and we will do what's right. My situation is pretty simple. You guys, or the folks at Progreso, played this young man, and he was not eligible according to all the processes that should have taken place. But the big thing that I will say to you before you begin yours, I just want to lay them all out there on the table, is very simply that as I look at this circumstance, had they done what was appropriate? And listen, the coaches are responsible to know the rules. And the people that they should be calling to ask about those situations, I don't know who they spoke to as a district chair. I don't have that information, don't need it. But they're responsible to know the rules. Had they done that and had that previous athletic participation form gone through, I can see no scenario in which it would have been a clean previous athletic participation form, seeing those as many as I do in this role, because this young man just admitted that he changed schools for two reasons. One, having a family issue, and the second one had to do with the fact that he wasn't getting to play on the varsity level at Palmview. So, with that having been said, please know that as I look at this right now, you're going to have to convince me in this particular case that that has no bearing, because for me, it has a great deal of bearing right now on the circumstances. We're looking at a young man who, because there was no previous athletic participation form done on him, he's played all year long, ineligible. So, Mr. Ramirez, I think you're ready. So let's go.
Thank you so much, first and foremost. And I do want to put on the record, on behalf of Progreso ISD and myself, a big thank you to Mr. Harrison and Mr. Nolte. They've been incredibly helpful in working with this through us over the past couple of weeks. And I don't have anything but good things to say about both of them and the work they've done here. So thank you to them. And thank you to you for taking the time to hear us out today on what we have. I do want to apologize for my attire for a hearing like this. I was at the
Okay.
airport. It was last minute, so I
It's
ran back
okay.
to the office. So I do apologize for that. But I do want to talk about specifically, because I think that the crux of this is falling on the PAPF form, right, that Progreso is alleged to not have completed in order to determine the eligibility of the player. And so I want to first and foremost look at the plain reading of the actual rule itself. And so when we look at the rule itself that requires the PAPF form, which is going to be section 443E, previous athletic participation form, all right? The plain language of the rule reads that an individual is presumed to have changed schools for athletic purposes. And then it has the two criteria there, being one, if he or she participated with the former school in a UIL contest or practice. The time that the player was in Palmview, he did not participate in a contest and did not participate in practice because it's not soccer season. And there was no contests that were being played at the time.
And so
So,
he wasn't in an off season where he was getting athletically ready to play.
there is a general athletic period where students are enrolled with across the
Okay.
state of Texas.
That answers my
But
question.
those would not be considered practices for the purposes of the team, which are arguably done after school, because as we
Well,
know, for
I
UIL.
disagree with that, Mr. Ramirez, but Mr. Zepeda, you have a question.
Yes, sir. According to the enrollment paperwork that Palmview and La Jolla ISD submitted, Hicker was enrolled in a soccer athletics class. And the PAPF form itself indicates on question one on page one that this form would need to be filled out if they've ever practiced or participated in extracurricular athletic activities before school, after school, or during an athletic period.
So
And
that
that's the
particular
plain
issue, Mr.
form.
Ramirez, that's a moot point. So, or it's not
So
moot, it's unproven. So let's move forward.
I just want to put on the record at the very least, for the hearing officer, these athletic periods that we're talking about for specific sports, they're not limited and they're not closed only for team members.
That's not the
Because,
issue.
right,
Okay.
but for purposes of the definition in the plain language, being whether he practiced or participated in the
Right.
contest, he did not. In our, at least that's our position. The other point that I do want to point out is that the school did not have knowledge up until now, where we're talking about this at the time that he switched for athletic reasons. And so in the moment when he came back to the school district, the athletic director had a question about that and reached out to the DEC chair. In because no information was brought to us that would require, or at least that our position was, would have required the PAPF form because of the two reasons that I mentioned. We're an off season. It was a classroom, not a contest, did not participate with the team. And in fact, when we look at the documentation that was submitted by Palmview High School themselves, they even acknowledged that he was not able to participate with the team and that he was informed of that because of the residency issue that Palmview had a concern with. And
yes,
so,
and that in itself is makes the reason for him going back athletic, as he's described himself.
Sure. But I think that what we're talking about here is that if he had that subjective reason for moving, and we're talking about the responsibility of the district in submitting the PAPF form, then the district was not aware of that reason, is what I'm trying to say. And the reason to trigger the PAPF form falls on the district if they, for example, suspected or knew that he had participated in the contest, that he had practiced with the team or done something like that. And up until we started working through this issue today, the district at the time did not have that information to trigger them feeling the need for the PAPF form. But in fact, I would argue that our athletic director or our coach here took the proactive step to reach out to the DEC chair and say, hey, this is going on. Do I need to do it? And was told no.
And let me remind you that, as is our guidelines to coaches, when they receive new students, whether they've known those students before or haven't known them before, is to call the previous coach. Coach to coach, what happened here? Why did this young man leave? And had your coach done that, he would have recognized the fact that it was a change because the kid was going to be ineligible. So that responsibility goes back to your coach. Continue, please.
And then our position was on the issue of going back to the district within 30 days of being told he was ineligible, being that he was told he wasn't eligible at Palmview and went back to a district he was prior eligible with, if we're taking the position that he was making the moves he was making for purposes of athletics. And so if we look at that provision that we were discussing earlier with respect to 403 F7, then if the position of the committee is that, well, he's making these moves because of athletics and eligibility issues to participate, then at the time he was told no in Palmview, he withdrew and went back to a district he was originally eligible in. And so therefore the spirit of the rule would be to not punish the kid twice in this case, but because he was already eligible in Progreso originally, and if the position is that he was moving because of athletic reasons, then he would be eligible under that rule because he came back within the 30 days. And I just want to point out that under that rule, there's nothing that says or requires that it is the DEC that has to make that finding, merely that it was found that he changed for an impermissible reason, or the way it is, the way the rule is written. And so it doesn't require.
Yeah, but the process that takes place about kids moving from one school to the other, decisions are reached at the DEC level. Those are finalized at the DEC level. It's been that way forever. So that doesn't hold much water with me.
So, I mean, those are our positions, Your Honor.
Okay. Benjamin, you got anything to add?
I mean,
yes, sir. This is. Oh, sorry.
I mean, the only thing I have to add, I understand what you're saying, that it's been like that forever. However, going back to the student's kind of subjective decision-making, and which is kind of impossible to determine, but if he was told within 30 days, well, that's a ruling. I mean, if he was told he couldn't play because the district, his Palmview, La Jolla ISD, had a concern about his eligibility, well, in his mind, he was found ineligible there. So he came back within those 30 days. So, I mean, that's going to be our position. We don't think he ever lost eligibility in the first place when he withdrew from Progreso ISD because he was never found ineligible officially through your processes, like you just said. And he just came back and he never got to play. He never had formal practice. Yes, he was in a soccer class, their PE essentially, but never practiced with the team. So there was no prior participation at the district. And then furthermore, our coach called the DEC chair, who's in charge of these decisions in our region, and he was told that he didn't have to submit it. So we relied on that advice from the leader of our UIL region. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at this point.
Okay.
Respectfully.
Nicely done.
This is Superintendent Coronado, may I add something, Your Honor?
Oh, please. And don't call me Your Honor.
Oh, okay. All right. It's just, I want to show respect, but you started this meeting. You started this meeting and it really caught my attention. And you mentioned that we're here to do what's right. And I'm going to give you my perspective as superintendent, because we have half of our community travel 4 hours. Our students are here. They travel 4 hours. It's been a roller coaster for us. I know that there are a lot of allegations ever since they started seeing our team winning. And I guess it's very hard to take a punishment for the students when the adult was the one who made the mistake. If in this case, everything that we're arguing right now is because of the PAPF that the coach did not turn in, I just feel that it's very hard for us to punish the students for something that the coach was supposed to do. And I just want to mention that, because at the end of the day, we're here for our students. You mentioned that you want to do what's right. And to me, what's right now is to make the best decision for our students. And if we need to punish the coach for not doing the proper protocols, then we need to do that. If you want to punish the coach because he failed to submit the paperwork, even though the DEC chair told him not to, we'll punish the coach. But at this point, to punish the student is heartbroken, at least from my educator perspective. But thank you very much, sir.
Appreciate those words, sir. Really do.
And I just want to add one last thing. I think that had the PAPF been submitted, I don't think we'd have a question about this player's eligibility. And so I think that Mr. Coronado was saying, if the adults messed up, then it's the adults who messed up, not take it out on the kids.
When you say you wouldn't think we would have had a question about the kids' eligibility if the previous PAPF had been turned in, what do you mean?
Well, I think that when we're looking at the totality of the situation, okay, I really do believe, and I do stand by what we were making our argument, that he never participated, he never was part of the team over there or played in that team. And so therefore...
Well, we're talking about the reason for the change, okay? And the change, he went back because he couldn't play at Palmview.
Well, there's two, respectfully, sir, there's two.
There are two reasons. I've mentioned them twice. I don't disagree with you.
It was familial issues. And so this is a sophomore, or however old he is, standing outside of this regional playoff game in San Antonio. So, I mean, I don't.
You don't need me to paint me that picture. I understand exactly what's going on.
What I'm trying to say is we don't know his mental. Well, we know his mental state right now. He's ready for a game. So
yes, sir.
He's saying that right now. Who knows what he would have said when he came back in, if his familial issues were solved or not.
Okay.
But right now he's in his uniform. He's ready to go. And he's being questioned by all these individuals who he has no knowledge of. And so, I mean, I don't know. We don't think he ever lost eligibility. That's our position. And, we hope that you guys kind of see that tape that way.
Okay. All right. One of the things that was mentioned by Mr. Ramirez early on was the fact that Dr. Harrison, Dr. Nolte, have been very good to work with this week. Comments from either of those individuals or again from Mr. Zepeda?
Mr. Chair, I'll start and just say I think we've enjoyed our time visiting with these gentlemen when working with them. I appreciate them for mentioning kind words. There's a lot to these allegations that we will still have to sort through, right? And we have tried to help them sort through the most straightforward ones as we could. We really have. In this instance, there's just not much debate for me, right? The reason we have the form is because of the process it facilitates. And this isn't a paperwork issue. It's the process that was circumvented by lack of paperwork. And it's very unfortunate that it is, you know, right before a regional soccer or excuse me, state semifinal soccer game. Nobody ever likes when decisions impact kids, but as the chair is apt to say in many of these opportunities at the state level, we have to worry about all the kids, including the kids on the teams who did follow all the rules. So there's an impact to those kids as well. And that's what we have to take into consideration when considering all of this.
Dr. Nolte, Mr. Spada, anything?
I agree with everything Dr. Harrison said. I do align my thoughts with Mr. Ramirez. He has been very accommodating and very cooperative. And some of the requests we've made of them has been possibly considered challenging because we were wanting to make sure that they were adhered with all the rules and regulations and that there weren't violations such as this, which we did discover. But they have been cooperative. And this is unfortunate that we realized this information today. This is not the situation we wanted to be in. And we've tried to guide them through it to this point. But that's all I wanted to close with. I appreciate Mr. Ramirez's words, and I agree that they have been cooperative. But it is unfortunate where we are because our position is such that, you know, without the PAPF, the student is in a position of ineligibility, and that impacts the team.
Mr. Chair, I do want to piggyback on that and point out the timing because I think you're aware, but I want to make sure you are. The reason we're here today, we were not aware of this student changing and going to a different high school and coming back until this morning. That information was literally received in our office this morning. And that's why we're here at this hour. And I will say, you know, we talked about Mr. Ramirez. We talked about the students who had not been enrolled for a calendar year. This one clearly had not been, right? So somehow that got missed when we were looking at all the kids. But when that information came to us this morning, we immediately began to look into it.
Yeah. And I just want to add to Mr. Harrison's comment. I think one of the reasons why Mr. Harrison was because when we looked at the students, we looked at their enrollment last year under the presumption that they were just still enrolled this year. And so I think that's why this particular one was overlooked in that initial account.
Well, in your defense, is a large number of kids, right? I mean, it's we were looking at documentation over a lot of kids, so I don't think it was intentional at all. I want to be very clear about that. We just weren't aware of it until this morning, and that's the reason for the timing.
Okay, Mr. Zepeda, did you have anything to add?
The only thing that I will add, you know, a lot of this is based on information that allegedly the district chair, you know, gave Progreso ISD regarding, you know, what needed to be followed with process. All of the coaches in Texas have to take and pass, you know, modules at the beginning of each school year where we really take a lot of pride in educating them about these rules so that we don't get in situations like this. I did look up Progreso's coach, head coach's training to see if he did indeed take the training. And I included some of the slides relative to the training specific to the PAPF. One of the slides as says, is a student new to your school? Did they participate in eighth grade or beyond at a different feeder school or high school in the U.S. or Mexico? If the answer to both of these questions is yes, then a PAPF is required. The second slide goes on to say that the district executive committee must determine that the student did not move for athletic purposes and approve the PAPF before a student is eligible to participate at the varsity level at the new school. That training was taken. Coach passed that training. He did quite well with it. And so I think this goes back to this is not necessarily a paperwork problem. It's a process problem. It's circumvented process, as Dr. Harrison mentioned earlier. And when I asked the principal at Palmview if they would have received a PAPF on this student, what would their feedback have been regarding the six questions that all former schools are asked? He said in reviewing the six questions that that they would have answered yes to question six, which is question six reads, based on your knowledge of the student and their circumstances, is this student changing schools for athletic purposes? He said he would have answered yes to that question, which would have triggered a hearing by process. And that hearing has been circumvented because the PAPF was not actually filled out. So this is not simply an eligibility piece of paper was not filled out. It's an entire process that's been circumvented here.
Okay. All right. Before I rule, anybody else have anything to say? You've all done a great job. Okay. Yes.
No, I was just going to add with respect to the comment regard the modules and what we're talking about there. You know, the last thing I'll say is this. The student, because I was a student and I wanted to move school sometimes too, but it was ultimately my parents' choice why we moved. And so at the heart of one of the reasons why the student moves was family reasons. And so I think that the student can't enroll and unenroll themselves on their own without their parents. And I think considering the family reasons behind why their parents moved, I think his move, unbeknown to him, was because of the family reasons, even though he would have preferred to have moved anyways. And I think that that underlying family reason is why he ultimately was moved to begin with.
Okay. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. And we always keep our eyes on the fact, recognizing that some of the issues that we deal with are not student initiated, they're parent initiated, but the rules are the rules. And that's got to be what our scrutiny is upon. Okay. The decisions that need to be reached today have to do with this particular young man. And again, I believe his name is Hickler Dagan Segura. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And on his situation, first of all, you know, it's left to me today to discuss whether or not, or make a determination whether or not he changed schools for athletic purposes. That's kind of where we are. And the answer to that question from me is yes, that was a change for athletic purposes. When that happens, then that means that triggers ineligibility at his receiving school district. And in this case, that is Progreso. So UIL rules say that if ineligible players play, any game that they play in has to be forfeited. And that's going to be the case here today. The other thing that we need to look at is the school district personnel. What's the coach's name?
Mr. Damian Magallan.
Say that again, please, sir.
Damian Magallan, M-A-G-A-L-L-A-N, Magallan.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I may just get a step ahead of you. There's, again, as we've mentioned multiple times, there's a lot to the allegations, and we've been very upfront with the school district that we expect there will be a future hearing to address all of that, including the coach. So whether, if you want to address that now, you certainly can. If we're going to
address it again, thank you for that. We will address that at an appropriate time where we can include not only this, but any other issues that have arisen.
Yes, sir.
So if that is the case, and that would include any school violations too at our next hearing, if we have a hearing. So I think the crux of this meeting was to determine whether this young man was eligible or ineligible, whether he had changed schools for athletic purposes or not, and that decision has been reached.
Yes, sir. And involved with that, student's not eligible till they're ruled to be eligible, right? So because he had been playing prior to, he was still playing ineligible. So,
yes, sir.
So the result is the same, unfortunately, which is, you know, for the superintendent we discussed on the phone earlier. That means, I mean, minimum penalty and rule for playing an ineligible player is forfeiture. Because he participated in playoff games, those have to be forfeited, which makes tonight's game unnecessary because they did not qualify for that because they had to forfeit the games prior.
Okay. Anything else need to be said about all this?
Other than to all of those representing the school, please know no one enjoys when something like this happens. We just found ourselves in a situation that it really wasn't a way to get out of.
When I heard of this earlier today, when I was given the information, my hope was that we could find a way through this to where the team could continue. But in this particular situation, that is not the case. Again, good luck to you. And I'm sure that we'll see some of you again as we deal with Coach a little bit later on. With that having been said, we're going to remove you folks from our meeting. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Any business needs to be taken care of any form or fashion?
No, sir. We just cannot say thank you to enough as the chair. We recognize the hour and the short notice that you were able to step in and show some leadership here. And we greatly appreciate that, as always.
Sure. Well, appreciate y'all. And we will now adjourn this meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.